Welcome to the Weekly Dose Podcast, your one-stop shop for the weekly news in incretin mimetic therapies with your host, Man on the Majaro, Dave Knapp.
Welcome to the Tuesday, April 30th edition of On the Pen, the Weekly Dose. I'm Dave Knapp, Man on the Majaro. That's why I'm here. You are on the pen. Wegovy, Saxenda, Victoza, Trulicity, Mounjaro, Zepbound, that pen, that is why you're here. And we cover all the news. This is your one-stop shop for your weekly incretin mimetic news. Let's get right into the news this week because there's a lot to cover. Of course, today will be the Eli Lilly earnings call. That will happen first thing in the morning. We will have wall-to-wall coverage at onthepen.com. Make sure you follow all of our social media channels. We're officially on Vial Watch 2024 and very, very hopeful that we're going to get some good news from Eli Lilly tomorrow. At a minimum, I hope that we get some answers on what they plan to do with these shortages. But of course, we hope here that they will release the vials. Hey, if you're watching as a member on YouTube who gets the video stream of this podcast early every week, what do you think of the new stuff on the shelves? I think that's awfully fun. I don't know if you can make out what everything is here, but I think they're pretty fun. Some little funny deals that I decided to decorate with. So I hope you enjoy. All right, let's get into it. So some news today, interesting news. And thank you to Clark Kent, our producer of the podcast, puts together all these articles for me every week. Thank you so much for the work that you do, Clarky. Appreciate it. 1.7 milligram dose of Wegovy is no longer in shortage. Now, this is excellent news because, as you know, the upper doses have been the focus of manufacturing for Novo Nordisk for the last few months as they have tried to serve the people already on the medication and at the expense of writing new prescriptions. So it's been very, very hard, almost impossible to find the starter dose 0.25 up to the 0.5 and, of course, the 1, which all remain in an FDA shortage. But we are hopeful that now that you see the 1.7 coming off the shortage list, that soon you'll see the 1 milligram, the 0.5, and eventually the starter dose, which will be helpful to aid in these GLP-1 shortages if you are looking to get on the pen, right? If you can't get Zepbound, if you can't get Mounjaro, if you can't get Ozempic, Wegovy should be coming online as well soon. So that's really good news. GNC, all right, the nutrition store launched a GLP-1 side effect support, basically section of their stores on their website, of course, as well. The supplements that they are providing for GLP-1 support are going to focus on GI health. Of course, GI side effects being one of the major reported side effects for users of GLP-1s. Retaining lean muscle mass, of course, that's another concern with rapid weight loss of any kind, is preserving that muscle mass. That definitely aids in your metabolism. Bone health, and then general nutrition support. So that'll be interesting. Check out the link in the bio. That'll take you over to the GNC press release about their semaglutide support program, is what they're calling it, at least in the slug on their on their website. Let's talk a little bit about some news from On the Pen this week, right? So we reported that the upper doses being tested in the high-dose tirzepatide trial are 20 and 25 milligrams. Now, that's from several sources that have are sort of close to the trials that have fed that information along the way over the last couple of months. And I felt good enough about the level of information that I was getting to report that those seem to be the two doses that are being tested, 20 and 25 milligrams. Now, I can't be 100% sure that there aren't 17.5 and 22.5 in there as step doses, but it seems like maybe Lilly may be abandoning that incremental dosing. And I think it would make sense for those who are tolerating the 15 milligram that they can probably bump up in 5 milligram increments. In fact, I think that it would make a lot of sense if, in general, for the supply, if those incremental doses weren't there. But I do know that a lot of people are fans of those incremental doses, and especially the 7.5 seems to be the dose that most people tend to report as being their favorite dose. If that was you, put it in the comments of the video over on YouTube. Interested to hear what your favorite dose was or is on tirzepatide. But the primary completion date for this trial is 12/24, so this is basically Christmas Eve. So Merry Christmas with final completion in September 30th at 25. This is really, really exciting because I'm thinking that by mid-2026, it is feasible that we could have high-dose tirzepatide. That would be absolutely amazing to get high doses for those of you who are struggling maybe to get the desired level of efficacy out of the current dosing. You know, interesting that over on the Novo Nordisk side, they're working on getting approved 7.2 milligrams of Wegovy, which is three times the highest dose. Now, three times the highest dose of tirzepatide would have been 45 milligrams. So you see that they're being a little bit more on the conservative side when they call high dose tirzepatide, that assuming that the 20 and the 25 are indeed the doses that they have been doing in those trials. So that'll be an interesting one to watch over the next few months, to watch that unfold. Again, preliminary data coming around Christmas. Earlier this week, we reported that Senator Bernie Sanders has sent a letter to the CEO of Novo Nordisk as his committee is launching a formal investigation into the cost of branded semaglutide. Now, just for a frame of reference, Ozempic costs $936 a month, while Wegovy costs $1,350 per month. And Ozempic only costs $155 in Canada. It costs $59 in Germany. And the dramatic difference in those costs has led to concerns about the accessibility and affordability of these drugs for American patients. And of course, this has been highlighted with the SELECT trials and subsequent approval for heart failure with preserved ejection fraction that added Wegovy for that indication to Medicare. So sort of a backdoor way for patients on Medicare to get the medication Wegovy. And interestingly enough, you'll probably see something similar coming from Eli Lilly, not to get ahead of today's earnings call, but you'll probably see something very similar coming very soon for their obstructive sleep apnea trial. So perhaps Zepbound launching for that indication. You've also got their own heart failure study going on that's set to wrap up this year. So you could see in early 2025, you may see that there is a approval for Zepbound as well for heart failure on Medicare. And when you think about all the potential patients on Medicare who now could qualify for these medications, it really brings to the forefront the cost, at least as it's concerned with government spending. And so I think it makes sense that this is being highlighted now. And of course, we will wait to see what Novo Nordisk's response is. Baked in here, you have a request for information about how much the PBMs are paying. And I think that that is sort of one of those low-key pieces to our prescription drug problem in the United States. When we talk about cost of drugs, we tend to want to point the finger at evil big pharma, right? Which is almost laughable when you think that the PBMs are sometimes taking 30 to 40% of the cost of a medication just for being the middleman, just for handling the paperwork, not developing novel treatments to chronic disease, but the people who are oftentimes blocking us from those novel treatments to chronic disease are taking 30 to 40% of a medication's cost just to add it to the formulary. Right. So I will be interested to hear more about that specifically from Novo Nordisk. And it is sounding like Eli Lilly won't probably escape this conversation either. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. On the topic of Germany, we talked about how they're paying $59 for Ozempic. They are now announcing tax breaks and speeding up clinical trials for the pharmaceutical industry in Germany. You saw earlier this past month that Eli Lilly broke ground on a 2.3 billion euro GLP-1 manufacturing plant over in Germany. And so you see American pharmaceutical companies making investments over there. And it will be very interesting to see if Germany begins to sort of position itself as the new sort of ground zero for emerging therapies and drug manufacturing. Interesting, Lexeria is beginning a phase one trial. So their stock symbol is LEXX. They're going to test their technology to improve stomach absorption of Rybelsus in a phase one trial. This is fascinating. They're also testing it on under the tongue sublingual absorption of Rybelsus in another phase one trial. Now, this is interesting because this is part of a pattern that's beginning to emerge with investigational medication. So we shared last week that retatrutide, the investigational triple agonist from Eli Lilly, is now being openly sold as a compound medication through online telehealth companies in the United States. This is a fascinating and frightening development, I believe, in investigational medications being used as treatment. And so this is another example of where you're actually, you see a company trying to go the legit route here. But just today, I saw articles, ads is a better way to put it, ads on social media, and shared in our ZepBound for Weight Loss group over on Facebook. If you haven't joined that over there, you should give that a peek. But somebody's just shared in that group today, a local company, a local pharmacy is selling sublingual semaglutide. This isn't anything that's been tested. So it's just fascinating to see the audacity of some of these companies that are coming out and offering their versions of semaglutide that have not yet gone through trial. So LEXX, Lexxeria, will be an interesting one to watch as they work to aid more of the oral administration of semaglutide. Speaking of oral peptides, Viking Therapeutics had their earnings call on April 24th. Their CEO talked about the planning release of injectable Viking Tide, also using an injector pen. And he wasn't concerned about the production because he feels like the contract manufacturing will have plenty of capacity by then. Have we learned nothing? Have we learned nothing from the launch of Wegovy and Ozempic and now Mounjaro and Zepbound? That is a very big conclusion to jump to. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but definitely I'm thinking Viking Therapeutics, y'all might want to think about releasing the vials of Viking Tide, right? But they also have a oral version of Viking Tide. That's VK2735, probably coming to a compound pharmacy near you. Oh my gosh. I say that and then, give it a week or two. We'll be laughing about it because it'll probably happen, sadly. Just a wild, wild west right now in compound medications. But they are planning to start the additional phase two trial of the injectable Viking Tide in Q4 of 2024 that will last 6 to 9 months. The first phase two trial was only 13 weeks long. So, and then oral Viking Tide, VK2735, is in a phase one trial and still investigating higher and higher doses. So as they find that the higher and higher doses of the oral is tolerated well, they just sort of keep cranking it up to see what kind of weight loss that they can get, which will be very interesting to see because it's showing a very low side effect profile, which is very interesting because its only counterpart that's on the market right now, at least, is Rybelsus. And Rybelsus tends to come with a whole host of not only side effects, but, just challenges of its own when it comes to the bioavailability of the medication. Of course, that Eli Lilly has their oral non-peptide version or forglipron, which is in phase three clinical trials as well. But that is a non-peptide. That is a small molecule GLP-1 oral that they're very confident it's going to come to market. But I'm sure this Viking Tide is probably going to show ultimately weight loss that is up towards the current, best in class injectables, Mounjaro and Zepbound. If you need a little refresher, VK2735 is a GLP-1/GIP. So it'd be interesting. We learned that tirzepatide is a 5-to-1 ratio GIP to GLP-1. It'll be interesting to find out eventually what Viking Tide is. And if I had to guess, I'm going to say maybe even ramped it up a little bit more on the GIP, but we will have to see on that one. We are going to be covering a really, really exciting earnings call from Eli Lilly today. I cannot wait. There will be a special edition podcast coming of that. I hope that you enjoyed this one, though, because there's just so much exciting news. There's a couple other things that we're going to leave for next week to get into, some new investigational medications. If you enjoy this, would you consider leaving the podcast a 5-star rating and review? And if you're on YouTube watching this at some point, would you just make sure you hit that like button and then subscribe to the channel? Because we put a ton of work into this. We rely on your generosity to keep this thing going. So if you'd like to consider a donation via Cash App or Venmo, definitely make sure you also check out onthepen.com and sign up for email alerts. But thank you for being here as always. Can't wait to do this again. Can't wait to recap the Eli Lilly earnings call with you all Tuesday later on in the day. It's going to be a huge day. We hope that they release those vials. Until next week, we will see you on the